This is episode 13 of season 3 Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, featuring Madeline Rotman from Imperfect Foods.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host, Barbara Lee.
More than 40% of food grown is not eaten. Yikes! That amounts to about 8% of global greenhouse gas emissions, which makes food waste the third worst offender in terms of carbon footprint, only trailing behind the US and China. Well, there's a company that's looking to change all that, and they started in the Bay Area, a place that is at the forefront of sustainability. You may have seen those advertisements of funny-looking produce with cute googly eyes on them. Well, that's Imperfect Foods advertisements, formerly known as Imperfect Produce. The company started by selling fruits and vegetables that were weirdly shaped or blemished and didn't meet grocery standards for selling. By purchasing not-so-perfect produce at a discount, Imperfect was able to pass on the savings to their customers. So this is also a great way for people to get access to healthy food that don't break the budget. In this bonus episode of Trash Talking, we sit down with Madeline Rotman, head of sustainability at Imperfect Foods, to talk about how the company is striving to remove waste from the food stream by providing a grocery delivery service centered around ugly fruits and vegetables and non-spec food items like broken pretzel bits. What's even better is that Imperfect has worked to pivot during COVID in a time where our food supply chains were severely impacted by the closure of businesses, schools, and restaurants. Listen in as Madeline gives us the inside scoop. Let's get trash talking. Stick around until the very end because we have a special gift from Imperfect Foods just for listeners of Trash Talking. Hi, Madeline.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah. Well, tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
Yeah. So I'm Madeline Rotman, and I am the head of sustainability at Imperfect Foods.
Cool. So what does the head of sustainability at Imperfect Foods do?
Such a good question. So Imperfect Foods, if you don't know, is an online grocery shopping experience that sources food that would have gone to waste. So we recover food and we sort of break down traditional standards, whether it's, you know, size, shape, color of what is acceptable. So we sort of take all shapes and sizes as long as it's nutritious and delicious and bring that straight to customers' doors through customizable weekly boxes. And so I, as head of sustainability, take our mission, ensuring that we're using everything, using the whole carrot, as we like to call it, and reducing food waste sort of to all areas of our business. So strengthening our sourcing, as well as ensuring that everything we do is creating a better food system and sort of reducing waste along the way. So that's all of our logistics, how our buildings operate and the energy we use, and just ensuring that we're being very conscious. And so all of that fits into ensuring that we're building a better food system.
But it sounds like what you're already doing, like just like removing the produce from the waste pathway, is already something that reduces the carbon footprint of everything you do at your company.
Absolutely. So it's a pretty interesting space that we sit in. So we started 5 years ago as a produce company. So we started as Imperfect Produce and have rebranded since to Imperfect Foods because we realized we can recover even more food and reduce even more waste. But sort of at our core is this idea that, you know, 40% of food that's grown is not eaten. And so that about 30% of the food that's wasted across the global supply chain, and that's about 8% of our total greenhouse gas emissions. And so if waste were actually a country, it would be third in line after the US and China. Yikes. So we sort of, it's crazy, right? It's like a huge impact. And so we set out to recover food and save food from going to waste to really reduce those emissions. And so at the beginning, we've always set out to reduce waste, but sort of we know as a business, we impact so many more pieces of the supply chain, and the food supply chain is tough and it's not easy. And so we really want to think consciously as we grow and scale about how can we do even more and really help customers too. Like, what does that mean for them at their home to reduce food waste sort of in their kitchen when the food gets to them?
Well, so this is what's really interesting, right? So it's essentially a little bit kind of like a CSA box that people can participate in.
Yeah, so it's similar in that it's a box of food that comes to your house. And it's similar in that we partner with the growers to ensure that you know it's coming straight from the farm. It's different in that we source from a bunch of different growers and a bunch of manufacturers. And now that we're in the grocery space as well, we have snacks and dairy and meat. And so it's coming from a variety of players. across the food space, and we ensure that you're able to customize your box every week. So you get to choose what goes in it. We have so much respect for all of our growers and farmers who are doing CSAs. And sort of this is sort of a complimentary service in addition to a CSA, but really sourcing waste from across the stream of all the different growers.
Right.
And adding that grocery piece in is pretty key to us so that we have different snacks as well and that you get to choose what you get every week.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that I think of when I think of a CSA box. Like, I've had to, like, get really creative with, like, rutabagas or parsnips where, like, you're getting, like, 3 weeks worth of it, you know? And then, yeah. Like, that does equal, like, food waste. Like, I can't imagine that everyone wants to eat parsnip puree, like, 7 days in a row the way I did.
Exactly.
So that's really cool. In terms of, like, the other products, I actually wasn't aware that you guys are selling other products in addition to the produce part of it. Like, what types of products are those, and, like, where are they coming from?
Yeah, so we've expanded, basically our grocery side of the business is about a year and a half old, and it started out of finding that there's all these different places in the supply chain that there's also waste. And so going to manufacturers of different products and saying, like, where's your waste stream and how can we fit in? And so some of my favorites that are in my box every week are, you know, the broken pretzel bits. So when you make pretzels, all those little crunchy bits at the bottom fall down, and we cover them in chocolate and make delicious chocolate-covered pretzels. Right? And then there's other stuff that we work with, you know, egg farmers on different sizes that don't have homes. So smaller sizes there. And, you know, specifically in right now over the summer with, you know, COVID changing the marketplace so much, there's been a lot of product that was typically intended to go to sort of larger institutions, whether they be universities or cafeterias, and sort of in format for restaurants or, you know, large format commissary kitchens that we've been able to sort of help provide end markets for by making them into retail packs. So everything from movie theater popcorn to, you know, different rices and lentils that we're able to put in our Imperfect private brand, you know, so there's surplus and excess too.
Oh my gosh.
But, right?
I love that.
That you can round out that grocery shop.
Yeah. That's, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And I love the COVID spin that you've taken.
Yeah. I mean, being nimble is so key because in the grocery space, you know, there's a lot of rigidity and sort of taking that core message from our beginnings as a produce business where we were sort of breaking down conceptions of what beauty looked like and beauty standards and saying that we'll take the imperfect, we'll take the ugly, we'll take the oddballs and odd shapes and sizes. We sort of were like, oh, we can do this in the grocery space too because there's all these standards and when markets change, there's not that nimbleness, if that's a word. And so being dexterous is pretty key to us to ensure that we can continue to sort of recover food and save waste the same way you would do in your own fridge. How do we think about different ways to eat parsnips so you're not eating parsnip puree for 7 days?
I mean, now everybody knows about my parsnip week. Madeline, why was this important to you, like, to work in the sustainability space, and how did you get into this as your career?
Yeah. Oof, where do we start? I was in college in Rhode Island, and Rhode Island, if you're unfamiliar, a tiny, tiny state, a powerful state that it is, actually has the most expensive farmland in the nation. Hmm. And so when I was there, I was running a food hub with a bunch of my friends, and that really shaped my experience working with all these growers and trying to find markets for them. And sort of that began my path down food system work. Just seeing sort of the grower challenges of having really expensive farmland and not knowing what to do and how to compete with the rest of the nation, and sort of the power of regional food hubs and regional food purchasing. From there, went on to retail and grocery, was working in the produce industry around supply chains and really saw the waste that occurs at the grocery store level. And, you know, from there was doing a lot of work to help growers and producers sort of find outlets for all of their all their products, and knowing that Imperfect was sort of working on this, jumped at the chance to sort of come here and help us build a sustainability department, sort of do more than just what we're doing at our core and really stretch this idea of using it all and being really mindful of our resources into all of our business pieces, because we just have so much impact as businesses to sort of drive change.
Yeah, that's super cool. But I guess why is the environment and sustainability important to you personally?
I mean, growing up in California, it's funny. I just moved back here and I haven't been back in, you know, over 10 years. And the fires here are just so radically part of our environment now in a way that it wasn't growing up, right? There was a fire every year, but now it's just sort of, it feels like our world really is on fire. And hearing and seeing growers' challenges of, you know, not being sure that there's going to be growing seasons. If I were to have great grandchildren, I don't have the assurance that they're going to have continual growing seasons. And sort of, there is this climate crisis. You know, food production and agriculture is pretty key part of that impact. And so being an eater, loving to go to restaurants, loving to cook, having grown up jumping in the ocean every week in California, it's sort of that environmental food aspect is so key to my life, and making sure that in all of our decisions and all of our purchases, we have the ability to feel good about what we're buying and doing feels really key to me. Like, so they're not disconnected. My activities and my personal life of, you know, going to the ocean, digging in the ground, pulling up that carrot, eating that for dinner, felt so disconnected from my purchasing power.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to go after sort of a life and a career of making sure that people felt like they could have that connection between what they were buying, how they were shopping, and knowing the impact that they would have to ensure that they have sort of more and more generations to come and not feel an overwhelming doom,
yeah.
Which I think is often felt.
It's hard this year, especially. I mean, I also came back towards where I grew up, where I went to high school, in Vegas. But I think it's really hard to understand the impact. I drove through California recently, and there's still fires burning. And it's months after the usual fire season. And it seems like it's slipped everyone's mind. Like, everyone's like, oh, it happened during the summer, it was big on the news, like, they're over now. And it's like, no, it's not. And the effects of it is going to be long lasting.
Yeah, and it's here, and it's sort of in our backyard in California, but it's happening all over the globe, right? And sort of this climate migration and having to move because of, you know, all of the weather patterns is scary.
Well, I guess, what's been an inspirational moment for you and the work that you've done? Like, what keeps you going?
Oh, what keeps me going? I love what I get to do, and I feel so grateful. I think one of the big moments for me early on in my career years ago, I was doing some product development in produce specifically, and realizing sort of annually working with growers and producers on finding products that would help them build new products out, whether it was, you know, specifically what I'm thinking of is building up foraged cranberries. So typically, most of the cranberries we eat, specifically around the month of November, we take these bogs and we flood them with water, and there's a lot of stuff in that water, and basically it allows the cranberries to float to the top, right? It provides a really efficient way to pick them all. And I was talking to someone who really wanted to forage wild cranberries because they were like, the flavor is so much better and it doesn't flood the land. And so it's actually better for the land if we're able to sort of pick them dry. Mm. And so we built out this forage cranberry program to, you know, had everyone go pick them. We sold them. We had a, you know, huge year around Thanksgiving. This was years ago. And just realizing the impact of product level development and the impact that it can have on the environmental space and the agricultural landscape was so key to me, to realizing sort of, oh my gosh, these products that we buy every day, whether it's, you know, the t-shirt we buy at the corner store, the salt that you buy to, you know, stock your cabinet, the sheets on your bed, they really have an impact on sort of the landscape. And realizing that we can make decisions that are smart and create transparency around them and drive real impact was pretty key to me in how I move forward and think about my work. And so very grateful for Tama and the foraged cranberries.
Well, now I'm going to think about that every time I eat cranberries. So what's your one tip for someone living at home right now, you know, kind of isolated in the middle of this like global pandemic? Like what can someone do from home to reduce their carbon footprint?
So fun. I mean, I think one, as you're sort of talking about all the ways and tips and tricks to sort of eat and cook in this ever changing environment. I'm not sure if you were one of the sourdough bread bakers at the beginning of this. but I think one of the keys is really figuring out a fun way to use everything. And so really thinking about how can you become a sort of zero waste household is a fun way to engage with your own sort of carbon impact. We have a blog here at Imperfect called The Whole Carrot, where some of our team does some really fun partnerships with chefs and different Q&As and tips and tricks to sort of use everything. My favorite is, you know, carrot pesto, or put all your scraps in the freezer and make stock. I actually made veggie stock last night with all my, you know, onion and kale stems.
That's one of my favorites too.
Right? Right. And so I think that that's a really fun way to engage sort of with the changing times and to really reduce your impact. And the other one is, you know, with all this sort of online shopping occurring, I think just really looking in and holding your brands accountable and asking for transparency of what their supply chains look like, whether it's, you know, being able to carbon offset your delivery or, you know, understanding where their products are coming from is really a great way to sort of put pressure on private brands to create that transparency so you can feel good about where you're shopping.
No, that's a fantastic one. And I tell everyone at the end of every year that they should go calculate and offset their carbon.
I love that. That should be my Christmas card, my holiday card. Thank you for the inspiration. Watch out, everyone.
So how can someone find Imperfect Foods and partake in your products?
So fun. You can go to imperfectfoods.com and sign up from there. We're also on Instagram for some tips and tricks. And from imperfectfoods.com, after you sign up, you can go find our blog, The Whole Carrot, and also our podcast, Unwasted, to sort of learn more about how you can do more.
Madeline, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad we could chat about all this fun stuff.
All right. Broken chocolate pretzel pieces might just be my all-time favorite food save of the year. As promised, we have a special gift just for listeners of Trash Talking. Use promo code ECOWARRIORS to get 30% off your first order from Imperfect Foods. They ship to all 48 states, so check them out today. This is a guaranteed way for you to reduce your footprint in 2021 and also get a jump start on those goals to eat healthier while also doing good for the planet. I've also linked to their blog, The Whole Carrot, in the show notes and the podcast so you can get more tips on how to reduce your food waste in the kitchen. Green Rebels, thanks for another fantastic year. I sincerely appreciate you closing out the end of a crazy and wild 2020 with me. We hope that this content has helped to inspire you to continue to think of creative ways to be green, even while at home. Happy New Year and stay green.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at TrashyBeautyCo.